The Harlem Globetrotters know how to prance, toss basketballs in the air, behind their backs, around their necks, and score. For more than seven decades, they've captivated audiences first while barnstorming small Midwestern towns and then traveling the world. Today, the legendary team celebrates its 75th anniversary, returning to its roots in Illinois. NPR Cheryl Corley has this report.
There they were in their signature red, white, and blue, the latest version of the Harlem Globetrotters, taking on the New York Nationals in a game in Chicago. Despite the Globetrotters' name, the team was born in Chicago in 1926. Originally called the Savoy Big Five after a Chicago ballroom, the team was supposed to help lure dancers by playing during intermissions. A year later, the show would leave the ballroom and go on the road, and the team name would eventually change to the Harlem Globetrotters. Current owner Manny Jackson, a former Globetrotter himself, says the name change was a marketing tool developed by founder Abe Saperstein.
It started because Abe simply got tired of people being shocked when a black team showed up in a city to play. So to warn him before he got to those white towns, he put Harlem on the front. And he knew if Harlem was on the front, they would know that it was a black team coming.
At Hinckley, Illinois High School, the trophy case full of basketball awards also holds commemorative plaques about the Globetrotters. The Globetrotters will play there later today. It's in this small town of about 1,700 where the Savoy Five played its first road game.
I was a freshman in high school.
88-year-old Marvel Loring says the gym was packed January 7, 1927, when the Savoy Five took on the Hinckley Merchants. She was one of 300 people there, and Loring says the soon-to-be-renamed Harlem Globetrotters did things on the basketball court she had never seen before. She's watched them ever since and attends their games whenever they're in the area.
I remember them throwing that water, and then they had a bucket, I think, with confetti in it or something. They went down the row a little further and threw it, and then they'd do some little trick or trick somebody or jump up in the bleachers. So it was fascinating. It was just, and they always and seem to do now some of those same things.
At a celebration this weekend to retire his number, Meadowlark Lemon says the Harlem Globetrotters offered a new style of basketball. It was about running and flair. During his playing days, Meadowlark was the master showman, sometimes called the Clown Prince.
I'm not a clown, I'm a comedian. And that's the way we try to display ourselves. We let people know that, yes, we can put on a show. Yes, we are Showtime. But we can play.
In the 1980s, the Smithsonian Institute called the Harlem Globetrotters an important part of American social history. Called the ambassadors of goodwill, the Globetrotters helped to integrate basketball. Perhaps, says owner Manny Jackson, even alleviate racism by traveling the country and the world. But with integration of the NBA and the emergence of the ABA, the Globetrotters lost their niche. When Jackson bought the team in the early 90s, it was nearly bankrupt. He says the Globetrotters have survived because of the team's unique appeal.
Other teams tend to think of themselves as they're in leagues, so the objective is to win. The Harlem Globetrotters' objective has always been to communicate and connect itself with its fans, with its customers, with its audiences.
Now the Globetrotters have three traveling squads that continue the legacy of bringing sports and entertainment to fans. If anyone wonders whether the Globetrotters will be around for another 75 years, head coach Charles Tex Harrison, a former player, has a ready answer.
Well, I was trying to stay till we go to the moon, because I do feel if they ever get domestic space travel, the Harlem Globetrotters will be the first sports attraction on the moon.
Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Yes, I was that cat, all right.